And having finished the book of Hebrews, we'll do a few parables before we get to Christmas. So today we'll look at the parable in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. It's about laborers and rewards. Laborers and rewards. Let's pray together and we begin our study of God's word. Lord, thank you so much for redeeming us, oh God. Thank you so much for the joy that you give us. Thank you so much for the beauty that you create from the ashes that you picked us out of. Thank you so much for the spirit that you fill us with and satisfy our hunger and thirst. Thank you so much for leading and guiding us to this day. Thank you so much for all that you accomplished through us, for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. Thank you so much for gathering us together to worship you, O God, and to receive from us the melodies from our hearts. Thank you so much for the beauty of being your children. Bless us all this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells a parable, a story with a spiritual moral about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God here, the kingdom of heaven, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his from his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give their wages, beginning with the last, the first." And when those came early were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who borne the burden of the heat of the day. We've worked lots of hours." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." Maybe you're familiar with this parable, and you're thinking, wow, seems to be quite an unfair story, right? But follow the story from the very beginning. This is something about the kingdom of God that Jesus is teaching his followers. And this stems from a question that Peter had asked Jesus. "We've left everything to follow you. What do we get?" In chapter 18, just a few chapters before chapter 20, or the chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus had been teaching about how impossible it is for those who are rich to come to the kingdom of God, because they tend to trust in their riches. They don't trust in God anymore. And then Peter was like, "Okay, so who can make it to heaven?" And Jesus explained to him that, you know what? You can make it only if you trust in me. with me all things are possible. You don't have to trust in your riches, but in me. And then Peter asks the question that leads to this parable. So we have left everything. We have forsaken all our riches to follow you. So in our day, you know, faithfulness more. Like, what do we get? What's our reward? Are we following for free? Do we have a salary at the end of this? Well, do you ever think like that? God, do I have a salary at the end of this journey? At the end of this service to you? What is my reward? And he says, you know what? In the kingdom of God, there's actually a reward system. And God is like a landowner who goes out and hires workers. And some are very early. The labor market was such that there was this trading center and men gathered. If they wanted to work, they gathered in this place. I think it still happens in some villages, even in our country. They just go to a trading center with their hoe and they stand. They're waiting to be hired with a slasher or something, whatever it is. Some just keep walking around. I don't know if you've seen those men just walking around with their hoes or, you know, with their lawnmowers. They're looking for a job. Some are very early, 6 o'clock, they're there. The landowner phoned them, get to work. They agreed on the pay. It's going to be a denarius, let's say, what, 10,000 shillings a day. So you go to work. At 9, midday, 3 o'clock, and 5. They're supposed to be working up to 6. He goes out and there's people who are still looking for a job. And he said to them, you go work. Now for these men, you know what he says to them? I'll give you what is right. You see the difference? The other first man, he said, I'll give you a denarius. They agreed. They signed a contract. For the men who worked later, he said to them, I'll give you what is right for you. They didn't even know how much. They got to work. And it seems to me that the landowner had so much work, he kept looking for those who needed a job. He kept hiring. Maybe it was harvest time. Maybe it was planting time. Maybe it was weeding season. It was constant work. And he went out even at the 11th hour, just one more hour to close. And he said, I want some people to work for me. And they did labor. And now it's time for a pay. Collect all the laborers, and I will pay each one according to my agreement with them. Now it's interesting that he starts with those who only worked 1 hour. Don't you think he should start with the one who started 6? And looks like there's a reason why he actually calls the ones who have worked for lesser hours first. He wants to know what the other guys are thinking, those who have worked for 12 hours. How will they respond to this? If you're an employer, you know you can do some tests to your employees, right? Just to test their attitude. What are they thinking? Maybe you're thinking, let me delay their salary for just a few days and see how they respond. See if they'll still show up at work early. Maybe let me give them a surprise bonus. Let me see how they respond. Or the company has made some losses, so let me cut a little bit this month and see how they respond. There's always a response, right? Whether you get a bonus, a delay, less, there's a response. You're like, hey, boss, I think this is wrong. Oh, boss, what happened? You made a mistake? Or some will just keep quiet, like, you know what, whether I made a mistake or I'm just not going to report. There are those civil servants, I'm told, who recently, because of an error, were paid for 2 whole years in advance, and the government was telling them, please bring back the money. They're like, which money? You know, in the worldwide labor market, there's a constant demand for employers to pay their employees better. And you know, over the years, over the centuries, there's been strikes and protests, you know, labor unions pressuring their employers to give more, even in our own country. I don't know where you work, but all of us will agree that we need a little bit more, right? And somebody said, well, a little bit more, that only changes the way we spend, right? Does it change anything? We just spend it. Even if we get hundreds of thousands more, we just still blow it up. So obviously, the same was in ancient Israel. Everybody wants a bonus. I've worked for 10 hours or 12 hours. I wish I got just more than a denarius. I would be happy. Well, payday is here. And everybody is paid the same. Everyone. Not only everyone is paid the same, the ones who worked the least hours were paid first. And that caused a little bit of excitement. I can imagine these guys are thinking, if these guys only worked 1 hour and they got a denarius, then for us who worked 12 hours should be getting what? 12. And they're already thinking how they're going to spend the money. You know, when you're anticipating your salary, you already have in your mind what you're going to do with it. Like, man, 12 denarius. This is the best landowner ever. We're going to be working for this guy again tomorrow. They were day laborers. Surprisingly, everybody was paid the same. And they had a complaint. Boss, you made a mistake. Look here. We've worked 12. We've endured the heat of the day, the whole day. How come you're giving those guys the same as us? We've worked longer. This is unfair. We're going on a strike. We're going to do a hunger strike or something. We're going to sue you. We're going to court. We're going to call the police. Well, what was the contract? 1 denarius. How much have you got? 1. Isn't that fair? They probably look the other way. And he confronts them, he rebukes them, he says to them, 1, it is legal for me to pay you that because that was the agreement. 2, it's my vineyard. Don't I have a right to pay anybody? Not only according to the contract, but according to my own wish. He obviously has a contract, but he can decide to pay more. He's not even thinking, I can decide to pay you less. No, he actually says, I can decide to pay you more. It's my money, it's my vineyard. And then he says to them, the sharpest rebuke ever in the story, I think your eye is evil. You're caught up in envy and jealousy. You're looking at my goodness and you're thinking that it should only apply to you and not to somebody else. You're selfish. It's completely fair. It's you who is evil. And he says, so the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. A few things that we learn from this parable. 1, there is a reward for everybody God has called. There is a reward. And this is something entirely about God's grace. You tell me that God enrolls you and you are among his workmen. And he gives you everything you need to work. When God calls us, he doesn't care and consider your qualification. He just wants you. He disregards everything. He says, you know, you come as you are. I'm going to give you on-job training. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you every tool you need to work. Imagine you go on a job that gives you every training you need, and then you have a salary. How awesome is that? You know, in this world, for us to get a job, we have to have a qualification, right? I read a story of this company looking for somebody. They say, we want somebody who is excellent and proficient in accounts and finance. They said, with an experience dealing with white and blue collar clients and with the freedom to work literally anywhere. So one potential applicant called and said, hey, so you're looking for someone proficient and excellent in accounts and finance and with the experience with dealing with white and blue collar clients and the freedom to work anywhere. They said, yeah. And the caller asked, would you like them to walk on water and turn water into wine as well? Like, that's too much of asking. Like, where are you going to find that person, right? You know those jobs and, you know, the key thing is they want a 10-year experience. You're like, where do I get a 10-year experience? Well, somebody who has been working somewhere for 10 years, you think is going to take up that job? I mean, they're already busy somewhere else, right? But God is not looking for anyone who is excellent and proficient in anything. Can you imagine? He actually is going to qualify and train and equip you with His Spirit. When He calls us, it doesn't matter how qualified you are, He actually qualifies us. He says, all I want you to do is respond to my call, and then I will qualify you, I'll equip you, and I'll give you every necessary strength and skill. And God, to a gracious extent, rewards us. How do you think you'll stand before the throne of God? You think you'll stand there and like, God, where's my pay? Really? You think you'll go like that? God, where's my salary? You will be overjoyed to be in heaven. You'll be overjoyed. We will be overjoyed to be with Him. And when He pulls out whatever it is that He has for us as a crowd, you're like, God, who is that for? Me? Really? I don't deserve that. I'm happy enough to be here. In fact, another pastor said that we'll actually give it back to Him. He has a crown for us, a reward for us. We'll be like, God, I don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. You have it. In absolute humility. We will not stand before God and ask for a salary. No. I don't think so. Think about His goodness right in the land of the living, the Bible describes. Isn't that just more than enough? And will you think that you look at other people and like, God, this is unfair. How come my crown is smaller? I have a big head. His crown cannot fit. How come the other person is getting something bigger? No. God has a reward for us amazingly. And His reward system is different from this world's reward system. Nobody will protest in heaven that God paid them little. We will be all grateful that we even were invited in heaven. And the reward is a bonus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to us, to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. He said, we are all at work. God has enrolled all of us to work. The amazing thing is that God is not that boss who sits there and watches you do your work alone in your own strength. But the Bible says there that we are God's fellow workers. The amazing thing about working for God is that he's not sitting there and thinking, you're not doing well. Start all over again. He actually is working with us. Are you that kind of a boss who just doesn't sit there and give instructions and supervise, but you actually help your employees excel? God is such a boss. He is working with us. Now, you know that if we are fellow workers with God, who is doing a better job? Are we doing the better job or God is? I quite often work with my kids and obviously they're just a mess. But I want to work with them. I want to teach them how to work. But they're literally slowing me down and undoing the things that I'm doing. And I'm teaching them and God is such a worker. He doesn't think, okay, you know what? You're not doing well, so you go home. I'll do it all alone. He said, you know what? I'm going to be by your side. I'm going to help you every step of this work. And he does. And all of us can testify. God gives us every sufficiency. And then we have a pay. It says, you are God's field. As God is working with us, you know we are actually the ones he is doing the most work in as his field, as his vineyard. He's tilling us and cultivating us and shaping us and building us. You are his building. The second amazing thing in that verse is according to the grace of God. That seals it. None of us has been called to heaven or to serve because we do qualify, because we are great. We are chosen simply because he loves us. And nothing we've done qualifies us to be loved. All we've done is sin against him. And God has given us a privilege to build on a foundation that he has already set. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And we have to decide how we build, how we serve, and how we work. Do you think the other workers were thinking, ah, these guys are going to be paid less? Like, we're going to work 12 hours, so look at these ones. You think they're looking at them like that? Obviously, I think so. Like, you guys are just coming at 5? Whoa, you're going to be paid like 12 times less our salary. And probably mocked them. Before we look and complain about what we're doing, think about the one you are serving. You're not serving men. You are serving God. 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. Look to yourselves that you or we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Don't be sluggish. Don't despise the work that God has given you. Don't even be discouraged by looking at others get a better reward here on earth. Maybe you have a job and you know you're really working so hard, and then you're comparing to somebody who hardly works, but they get a full pay. That's discouraging, isn't it? Some say that, and that's actually true, that in the private sector, you really work. But what happens to the public service? You can choose to sit and take a self sick leave for 2 weeks, and nobody will really care, right? And then you get a full pay. What makes a difference is knowing who you serve. Do you really know that it's God you're working for? Or you think it's just the government? It's just a boss. Well, if God came down and said, all right, I'm going to pay you. So you've worked today, the 25th, you're getting a salary, or at least you got your salary. Imagine you've been working for this month, November, and God shows up on December 1st and says, I have a salary for you. What do you think you would have changed in the month of November. Do you think you've done well? Or do you think, oh man, I wish I knew God was the one going to pay me. I would have done better. Or will you have done your best like, God, I did everything I could. And so we'll appear before the Lord. He is the one who is going to reward us. And you had better pay attention how you are working. Are you building on this foundation excellently with gold, silver, and precious stones? Or are you thinking, oh man, I only have wood, hay, and straw. But you know at the same time that the work is going to be tested by fire. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, Jesus said, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. He himself said he's coming and he has the reward. He has it behind his hands. Doesn't that change the way we should be working? It should. God himself coming down to reward us should change everything about our work ethics. Second lesson is one that is derived from the landowner going at different times to hire workers. Why are some potential laborers still idle? He asked them, what are you doing here? Well, nobody has hired us. Well, you are hired, he tells them. Get to work. God's kingdom, God's heavenly kingdom, is as big as the universe. There's always something to do. We cannot be standing there and think, we don't have anything to do. Somebody recently observed that obviously there's a problem of unemployment in this country. I think it's almost, 40 or 45% unemployment. And it's understandable. It's a small economy. It's a young economy. But regardless of all the other failures of all the other institutions in this world, do you think there's nothing to do in this country? Isn't there rubbish to collect? Potholes to fix? Should we just volunteer fixing all these potholes rather than just complain about them, right? Can't we get sand and bag of cement like 20K and get to work? Or should we just sit there like, oh, we don't have any work to do? Well, God has hired us all. And there is so much to do. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38, he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful. There is so much to do, but the laborers few. Only few are willing to work. And he tells them, pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, sends out laborers into the harvest. So just look around you, and this was a multitude just wandering around. They have no leader. They don't have anybody to spiritually and physically guide them. And Jesus says, look at them. They are looking for God. They are looking for direction. They are looking for leaders. And he's telling them to pray, but you know what? They are actually the answer to that prayer. He actually gets them to work and be part of a worldwide harvest. And so are we. God is going to scatter us all over the world. I don't think all of us will stay in this place for the next 25 years. How many of you think that sooner or later God will take you somewhere, different part of this country, different part of the world, not just to get you another job, but to employ you in his kingdom as you serve in that job. To say to you that, you know what, wherever you are, please know that you're working for me, and what you need to be doing is drawing people to the kingdom. Alongside everything you're doing, making sure you know that there is a harvest going on. If you're a farmer and it's harvest time, and you know the seasons are going to change really very soon, the one thing that you do is you get as many laborers as possible to harvest the crop before the weather changes. Because if there's any delay, first of all, the crop will waste. The maize and the millet or anything will drop to the ground and rot. If you delay and the weather changes, it's going to decay on the plant. If the rains come before the harvest is done, the crop is ruined. You can be slow in planting or even weeding, but I guarantee when the harvest comes, you're like, quick! And that's what Jesus is telling us. Be swift to harvest for the kingdom. And that's people. And we still live in a culture that really values people more than any other thing around. In some societies, there is more value in systems and things rather than in people. Like, people come last. It's interesting how this world has so developed that there's less care about people. There's more care about machines and technology. But we still live in a country that, for the most part, we still value people more than anything else. And what a privilege to be part of God's harvest. Christian, there's so much to do. And it's sad that some are just wasting time focusing on self and self-gratification in the name of so many other strange doctrines and missing out on being part of a harvest that God is doing all across the world. That should not be us. One preacher asked, why is any one of us remaining idle towards God? Can we dare say to him, no one has hired us? No, we can't. He has hired us himself. There's no reason we should be idle. I read a story of a boss, somebody who was hiring. He told his applicant that, you know what? I'll give you $8 a day for the first 3 months. And after 3 months, I'll give you $10 a day. I'll give an increment. So he asked him, so when do you want to start work? The applicant says, in 3 months. When I've got the pay raise. And quite often we tell God that, God, I'll wait until you can pay me so much. Let's get to work. And don't even have to find out what that work is. We are already doing it. Let's excel in it. The last lesson is one of an evil eye. Do you look at somebody else getting a better pay and somehow that prevents you or discourages you from working? And you know it can, right? Like, God, I'm working all week. All I get is this little. That guy only works 4 days a week. Don't you wish there was like an international labor standard, and I know the world is working towards that? Ideally saying, okay, everybody has to work only 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, 8 to 5, and everybody has to earn at least this amount of money. So you have jobs. I read about one that gives women a 6-month maternity paid leave. 6 months. All the ladies are thinking, where is that? Are they hiring? Do we have some vacancies? A friend got this job, moved to the UK, somewhere in South London, and she was going to have a baby. Actually, around the time she was hired, she was expecting, I think, three months into her pregnancy. And then she only worked for about 5 months, gave birth, and she has 6 months paid maternity leave. You know what happened? She came back to Uganda and she's in the village. When the leave is done, she'll get on a plane and go work. You can imagine. And then some, no maternity leave whatsoever. You see mothers breastfeeding at work, right? At least struggling to carry their babies. Anyway, quite an unfair world. But God is not unfair. God is fair. We work for the best boss ever. And there's no reason we should give room for envy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. These guys were literally speaking against the employer and saying that you are unfair. He's somebody who gave them a job. He found them idle, waiting to work, and he hired them. How then can you say that person is unfair? Well, do you want to be the one who works for 12 hours and gets a denarius? Or do you want to be the one who works for 1 hour and gets a denarius? Be honest. We all would say, just 1 hour. That's a good deal, right? Don't give room for envy, because it will stumble you into all sorts of evil. Be grateful. Be thankful. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. All these things are the same. Sometimes you think, okay, maybe theft is really bad, but envy, not too bad. Imagine all the sins are mentioned in the very same level of seriousness. Lust and drunkenness and lewdness, that's literally a summary of wickedness. And then envy. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 25. And whatever you do, do it with your heart. Do it heartily. As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. I love that. We know that there is unfairness in this world reward system. So much unfairness. Not with God. And sometimes because we are so used to unfairness in this world, we think God is unfair too. In fact, we think God is unfair to actually place us at a job that is paying us so little. There is no partiality with God. We will stand before him and tell you what, there will not be an inch of thinking that is unfair. All we'll do is be full of marvel at his goodness and his justice. We'll all say, you know what, God, you are good. Imagine you called us out from darkness to light. You gave us your spirit. And you walked with us literally every step of the journey. Not once were we there on our own trying to find our own way. You built the road for us to walk through. You gave us provision for the journey. You watched over us. You protected us. You are so close. You weren't far off minding any other business. You are paying attention to each one of us. You loved us so deeply. You cared for us. You clothed us in righteousness. You listened to our prayers. You provided for our needs. You gave us more than we even asked or even imagined. You blessed us. What more shall we say apart from be grateful? Well, why doesn't that start here? If that is going to be our response in heaven, why then doesn't that start here? So we're thinking, okay, in this world, we have room to complain, right? Because we won't have any complaint in heaven. So like, okay, let's complain here because there's no room for complaint in heaven. Well, why don't we then start that attitude, that culture, that practice here? Wouldn't that make a huge difference in everything we do? And wouldn't that influence everybody around us? Imagine everybody's working with a joyful heart, with a cheer, with encouragement, with pleasure. You're enjoying what you're doing. You're working and you're kind of just whistling. Some of us, we only wait to be in the bathroom to start whistling, right? I don't even know why it's so. I often have some guests and I'm thinking, I should put a sound recorder in the bathroom. Because the lady loves to sing. I'm like, yeah, that can actually be good music put to a recording studio. Why don't we whistle our day just working and enjoying everything that God has given us? Why would we have to wait for the evening? And maybe you see the year winding and you're thinking, hey, I'm only 10% my goals. Are you? You made some plans at the beginning of the year and then it's November, next week's December, and you're thinking, 5% loading. I made a promise I was going to be more in the gym this year. I stopped in July. Well, some of you can't even tell, right? Like, you look fine. When we look at all the other factors around us, I guarantee you we'll be discouraged. We'll be like the servant. You're thinking, God, this is unfair. And God says to us, it's your problem. You have an evil eye. It's envy. Obviously, there's so much unfairness in this world. That is no surprise to the Lord. And it's no surprise to us. But let's be aware there's not going to be unfairness in heaven. And even right now, as God has hired us to his kingdom, he is not favoring some and then despising others. He's not looking at you and like, you know, you go to the third stream. They did that to us in secondary school. Like, you guys who score between 90 and 70, you go to the other stream. Then all the other guys who score 30 and 40, the last one. In which stream were you? Should we mention? If you look at other people's payslips, you'll be thinking, hey, mine is the worst. Do you ever look at yours like, man, this is really good? Somebody needs to do my job? We'll be like, no way, this needs to improve. Have you seen that cartoon? Every price is increasing, or the price of petrol is increasing, the price of sugar is increasing. Everything, and then the salary is like the short, stunted guy. Like, hey, you grow up, little guy. There's no partiality, no segregation, no partiality with God. He is righteous. And when we get rewarded for our labors, we won't even think we deserve it. We won't be like, oh God, thank you so much. I really deserve this. I really worked hard for this. No. None of us will be thinking like that. God, you are so amazing. Thank you so much for calling me out and giving me strength and leading me through all and teaching me everything that you taught me and even giving me this. I don't deserve it. All of us will stand undeserving before God. And tell you what, we don't have to wait then. We can start now. Amen? Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for calling us and choosing us to be those who labor in your vineyard, which is as big as the universe, everywhere. Lord, much as the reward system in this earth is unfair, shouldn't even surprise us. Shouldn't even cause us to complain or grumble. Yes, we can engage those who employ us about rewarding us more, but that should not stumble us into stopping to work. Because we know we are serving you, Lord, and you see everything. You see the fallen system in this world. You see the unfairness. You see the wickedness. You see the greed. But none of that is in heaven and is in you and is part of your kingdom. So regardless of all unfairness, Lord, we want to continue laboring. We want to continue calling many to light. We want to continue serving as unto you. We want to continue acknowledging that you are the one who employs us. And we want to be grateful that not only are you rewarding us here, you will reward us for all eternity. So when envy comes, oh God, when jealousy comes, when discouragement creeps in, Lord, we want to look to you, we want to focus on you, and we want to carry on with the same diligence we started with. So, Lord, thank you so much for reminding us about your kingdom. May we serve you with excellence, with cheerfulness, with joy, with gratefulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.